Today's daf is daf Tes Zayin. So we got to the very top line here. The Gemara had finished off saying that Rabbi Kiva had entered into Pardes B'Shalom and he left Pardes B'Shalom. So now the Gemara wonders, what exactly did Rabbi Kiva know that the others didn't know that made him, he was protected from any of the dangers of Pardes? So the Gemara says the very top line here, that my darish, what was the drush Rabbi Kiva made? So I'm a Rabba Bar Barchana, I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. It says in the Pasuk, V'osa Merivos Kodesh. Also means a lashon of os. There was a sign. Osu birvava shalo. Amongst the tens of thousands of malachim, there was a certain sign he was able to see that Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina was there and knew not to look. So he doesn't tell us exactly what the sign was, but he knew that there was some sign, something different amongst malachim. When something looked different, don't look in that direction. That was the drasha according to Rabba Bar Barchana. Amar Rabbi Abo Amar, he said a different drasha. Dagel mirvava dugmahu birvava shalo, like a dagel, a degel is a flag. It's a symbol. So there is some symbol, some example, something amongst the rivos kodesh, something amongst Malachim that was able to indicate them not to look here. Again, what that was, we're not told. Reish Lakish Amar Hashem and Tzvakos Shemo Adonhu Bitzava Shalo, that the Kadosh Baruch is the master of the army. So when he saw the soldiers of the Malachim, that was the indicator that the Shekhinah is coming. So somehow when there's a mass of Malachim coming, that was the indicator the Shekhinah is there. Don't look in that direction. So the Gemara then says, Rabbi Yechiya Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lo Veruach Hashem V'Acher Ruach Rosh the Lo Veruach Hashem. After Hashem is on the Ruach, after the Ruach comes this noise. Hashem is on the Rosh either. Achar Rosh Eish. After the Rosh comes Eish, Lo Hashem Beish, he's on the fire. Achar Eish, afterwards, Kol Demama Daka, there's a small sound. V'nei Hashem over, then Hashem's there. So there's this Seder of wind and fire and sound, and he knew once that sound came, that was a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then he knew not to look. So there are a few different psukim that pointed to the direction which Rabbi Kiva should not be looking. So rather than quote to Bryce, the Tanya Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarm Nemru B'Shedim. There are six things said about Shedim. Shlosha K'malacha Yesharish. In three ways, Shedim are similar to Malachim. And Shlosha Kivnei Adam in the three ways in which they're similar to man. Shlosha K'malacha Yesharish, in that Yeshlam K'nafayim K'malacha Yesharish, they have wings like angels. V'tasim Yisofom V'ad Sofo K'malacha Yesharish, they could fly from one end of the world to the other in just one swoop of the wings. They know the future like Malachim. Gemara injects for a second. Wait a second. Yodim Sakadaitach, you would think they know the future. Only Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the future. Not even Malachim knows the future. Ella, what it means is, Shomim Machore HaPargod K'malach HaSharis. They hear the sounds that are behind this curtain, just like Malachim could hear the sound, like the Gemara and Brachos in the beginning, that they're able to hear what was going to be that coming year. Not because they knew the future, but because they heard voices speaking. They heard something behind the Pargod that told them what's going to be. So they also could hear these voices. Those are the three ways in which they're similar to Malachim. And Shlosha Kivnei Adam, how are they similar to man? Ochem V'Shosim Kivnei Adam, they eat and drink. Aparm V'Arvim Kivnei Adam, they reproduce. Umesim Kivnei Adam, they also die like people. So Gemara then says a similar b'raisa, Shisha Devarim Nemru B'nei Adam. There's six things said about man. Shlosha K'malach HaSharis, in three ways we're compared to angels, or Shlosha K'behema, three ways they're compared to animals. Shlosha K'malach HaSharis, Yeshlam Das K'malach HaSharis, we have wisdom, we have Das, we have knowledge. U'mahalchin B'kom Mezukufa K'malach HaSharis, we stand up tall, we walk like Malachim do. U'mesaprin B'lashon HaKodesh K'malach HaSharis, we're able to speak a Hebrew. Shlosha K'behema, in three ways we're similar to animals. Ochlin V'shosin K'behema, we eat and drink like them. U'parmi Rabban K'behema, we reproduce like they do. U'motzin Re'a K'behema, we also go to the bathroom like animals go as well. So Gemara then says, "Kol mestakel ba'arba dvarim rasoi or roi lo shelo balyom." There are four things that the Mishnah said in the beginning of the parak that a person should not look into, and if one does look into, it bear from not to come into the world. What were the four things? So Gemara says, "Don't look above, don't look below, don't look behind, don't look ahead." So Gemara says, "Bishma, I understand mala 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 mata mala achor." These three things make sense. What's above the world? What's below the world? What's going to be after the world? That all makes sense. A person might go crazy thinking about these matters. El lefrim ma'ida hava hava. To think about what existed before the world, well, what's the big deal? What happened, happened. What type of mistake will he make? There's no real concern, my Dehava Hava, what happened before the world. Gemara says, no. The reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want man to think about what existed before the world or what's below the world is for the following mashal they give. Rav Yochanan, Rav Balazza, Damar Tavai, they both hold, Mashal Mech Basar Adam, Shamar L'Avadav, he tells his servants, Banuli Prata Teren, build me a palace, a gedola, a very big one, or many big palaces, Al HaAshba, on top of a heap of garbage, build me a palace. Nobody's going to know. It's a mound of garbage, build me a beautiful palace. They go build it. Nobody, he doesn't want to mention what was underneath that palace. Don't talk about the garbage that was before. Here as well, there was nothing so dangerous that existed before the world, apparently. There was nothing but emptiness. So it was garbage. Because Rachel doesn't want to speak about what pre-existed the world, so therefore avoid this topic. The Gemara then says, Kol shelo chas al kvod kono, rasoy ro'i lo shabat liyalam. Those who don't have rachmanas, don't have some type of compassion or respect the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that person is not worthy of coming into the world. What does that even mean? Kol shelo chas al kvod kono. So Gemara says that, Mahi, so Rabbi Abba Amar, Zem estakel bekeshes. A person who looks at a rainbow, a person should not look at a rainbow. So we'll see in a second what's wrong with that. They ask a basic question, and then how do you say a bracha when you see a rainbow? So some say, if you happen to see a rainbow, you're walking, you happen to see one, look away, but you already saw it, so then you're supposed to say the bracha. Others say, no, there's a difference between mistakil and ri'ah. It's brought down in many, many poskim. Tosis ri'ah is to see, but mistakil is to gaze and to stare. You can stare at the rainbow, but you're able to look at the rainbow, ri'ah, and that's when a person would say a bracha. Rav Yosef says, no, zeha over avera b'seser. Person who performs an avera privately, that's what it's referring to. Not that one should do it publicly, but there's a certain type of a person when he does it b'seser, he's more scared of mankind than he is of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he does it in public, he doesn't care of anyone. There's no, he doesn't care about man or HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, fine. But to be more scared of man than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what it means, the kol shelo chas al kvod kono. So Gemara then says, Mistaka Bakesh is one who stares, gazes at a rainbow. Dichsivit says, Kimare Hakeshes, Hashayeb Anon, like the image of a rainbow that's in the cloud, Biyoma Geshem, the day it rains, Kain Mare Hanoga, Saviva, who Mare Dimus Kvod Hashem. So too, that's the light that goes around in a circle. Somehow that represents the image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? It represents the image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So there are different opinions here. That so some say the Tosafot Rid writes that just like when you look at a rainbow, from the distance it looks like it's red and orange, yellow, green and blue and so on. But when you start looking at it carefully, you can't distinguish the colors. Everything like phases and blends together. So to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can't see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You think you understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but when you start looking and trying to figure out, things begin to fade away. So that's how the Tosafot Rid explains what's going on. The Ben Yehoyada says differently. Not that the colors are different, but when you look at the rainbow, it looks like there's something there, but there's no mamash. In the end, there's no mamash at all. It's just some reflection or refraction of the light going off. There's nothing to it. So to Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no mamash to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He exists, of course, but there's nothing physical to Kadosh Baruch Hu, just like a rainbow isn't physical either. So Gemara then says, okay, so that explains why a person shouldn't look at a rainbow, because somehow it's like looking at the Shechina. When it comes to Rav Yosef Amar, Zeha over Aveira B'Seser, a person performs an Aveira in secret, Kedar B'Yitzchak, Namar B'Yitzchak, Kala over Aveira B'Seser, Kilu Dochek, one who performs an Aveira in private, so it's as if he's pushing away the legs of the Shechina. Shenemar ko amar Hashem Hashemayim kisi v'aretz hadam ragli. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu's legs are on this earth, and when you pretend the Kadosh Baruch Hu's not here, it's as if you're pushing his legs off of the earth. So Gemara says, is that really true? Aini? Is that really true? So Vahama Rabbi Eli Zakin Imroa Adam Shiitra Miskaber Love. A person sees that Yitzhar is so strong and he can't overcome it. What should he do? Yelech Lamakum Shein Makir. And also go to a place where nobody recognizes him. V'yilbash Shcharm. He should wear black clothing. V'yisatev Shcharm. And he should adorn himself, wrap himself in black clothing. V'yasim Ashli B'chavit. And do what he wants. V'yal Yichal Shem B'Shemayim Efrash. And not to desecrate Hashem's name by being a frum yud in the public and doing something publicly that he shouldn't do. So here the Gemara advises a person to do it. More so than to do before Hesia. So now that it's a good thing, but it's better b'seiser than it is before Hesia. So the Gemara says, no, lo kashya, hab de matzi kayef le'yitzah. This is where a person is able to overcome his yetzer hara. Okay, he's having a taifa, so he should overcome it. So we say, don't do b'seiser. If you do, that's going to be pushing away the ragli shechina. But in a situation, hab de lo matzi kayef le'yitzah, a person where he knows he can't overcome the taifa. It's so powerful, so strong, then we say, the only thing we could suggest you to do, if you're going to do it, so then do it in a place where nobody knows you and wear black clothing. So there's a very fascinating tosis here. Look at the top, V'yase Mashal Yibo Chafetz. You quote to Rabbeinu Chananel, which seems to indicate that it's actually permitted. You want a heter? You want more heter? This is actually a heter to do this. Not that a person's stuck, but if you want to do it in a veira, so go to a place nobody knows you and dress up and then go ahead and do it, beheter. Says Chas V'Shalom, don't think such a thing. So look what he writes, V'yase Mashal Yibo Chafetz. Says tosis, Legamer, do whatever you want, completely, whatever, there's no bounds to what you want to do. Mashma demut of lola adam shiasa chepto b'seiser v'lo b'farheser. Fine. And better for a person it doesn't have a b'seiser than it is b'farheser. That was the question of the Gemara. V'lo k'perisha b'ne chananel d'shili b'perik kama d'kedushin. The end of the first parak of kedushin, he writes, d'pirish d'chas v'shom shayamat yelasos aveira. Not to say it's mutter to do an avera. El kamar, what it really means is yubash shchorim v'yelech l'makom acher levisha shchorim v'askanos mishabrim libo. Well, the suggestion is maybe this is an eitah tova to avoid doing the avera. So that maybe if a guy wears black clothing, you go to a place where nobody recognizes you, nobody says hello to you, and maybe that will break him, and that will be the eitah to avoid doing the avera. So he's suggesting this is not a way of doing the avera in a way that nobody knows you. It's a way to actually break the taiva, and this might help you in order to avoid the avera. Fine. So now the Gemara says back inside. Darish Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nachmani Miturgamei Dereish Lakish. He made the following drasha. Kol Mastaka B'Shlosha Dvarim. A person looks at three different things. Ein of Chaos is going to cause his vision to dim. Bekeshis, Benasi, Bekwadim. These three items, a person looks at these items or these people, his eyes will go bad. So Gemara says, how do we know? Bekeshis, Dichsiv, Kimare, Kakeshis, Hashayek, Benan, Beyom HaGeshem, Humare, Dimus, Kvod Hashem. When looking at the rainbow, like we saw above, the Pasuk Yecheskel says it's like looking at the Kadosh Baruch Hu Shechina, and that's why a person's vision will get dim. Benasi, Dichsiv, Venasata, Mehodcha, Allah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, place some of his hod, some of his grandeur, some of his beauty on the face of a Nasi, that's Keilu, you're looking at the Shechina. And Hamastaka, but Kohanim, Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash Kayim, Shayom Dimalduchnin, Mavarchin, Esusel, Bishem Hamafarish, because in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, what would happen would be that the Shekhinah somehow would rest upon the fingers, and that would be looking at the Shekhinah as well, which would mean Bizman Azeh, there should not be any issue at all of looking at the Kohanim's hands, because there's no Beis Hamikdash, there's no Shekhinah. The practice, nonetheless, is to both cover the fingers of the Kohanim and to cover the faces of those who are being mispiled. Now, Tosis is right, so there's an additional reason why a person should not be looking at the Kohanim's hands, not because of the Shekhinah, because of Hesach Adas. If I'm getting in the Tzibur and I'm looking to get the bracha, if I look at the fingers, I might just lose focus. So in order to focus properly, they don't look at the hands, close your eyes and just accept the bracha. Based on this, there's a big discussion in the Rishonim. Is there a mitzvah of us being misbarich? There certainly is a mitzvah of Kohanim giving the bracha of Birchas Kohanim. But is there also a mitzvah that we should get blessed as a tzibur? Should we be part of that mitzvah? It's certainly a good thing to get a bracha, but in terms of a mitzvah, is that part of it? So they bring a ride from this Tosos. The fact that he says the tzibur has to pay attention, not be meseich daito, implies that we also have to receive the bracha. There's a mitzvah for us to receive the bracha, not only for Kohanim to give the bracha. Gemara now says further, Darish Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nachmani, Miturgamei Dereish Lakish. What does the pasuk mean when it says in Micha, Al Taminu Vireya Al Tivtachu Va'aluf? Don't believe in the evil, don't trust in the thousands of, or the leader maybe. Im Yom El Chayetzar, the Yetzirah tells you, Chato V'Akadosh Baruch Hu Mocha. Don't worry, do the sin, do the Aveira, speak Lashon Hara, and don't worry, there's always Yom Kippur, there's always Tshuva. Al Tamin, don't trust in the Yetzirah. Al tamen bereya ein rea el yitzahara shenemar ki yitzah lev ha'adam ra vein alef el ha'kadosh baruch hu shenemar elef nuri ata. So he says, don't believe in the yitzahara and don't trust in this happening. Each person should avoid the avera in the first place, of course. So the Gemara says, Shema made, Tomar made, me made, be. May you're going to tell yourself or ask yourself, who's going to test I? Who will know? So I did an avera. Who's going to see me? Avne beiso v'kores beiso shel adam heim meidimbo. The rocks and the beams of your house, they're going to testify about you in the future. Shenemar, it says in Habakkuk, ki even mikir tizak, the rock of your wall is going to scream out and testify. The kafes me'et, yanana, and the wood and the beams will also answer. The chachamim omrim, nishmasel sh'adam me'edbo. Not the walls of your house and the ceiling of your house, rather your neshama itself is going to testify against what you and the body had done. Shenemar, mishocheves, cheikha shemor pischei ficha. That which lies within you, you should protect your guard, your mouth. What is that which rests and lies within a person? That's the neshama which is going to testify about you in the time to come. So the two malachim who escort us wherever we go, they're the ones who are going to testify against us, or perhaps for us. They're going to protect you. They're also going to testify about you. Others say, our own limbs are going to testify. You are my Eda, Numa Shemba Ani Kale. That you yourself, your body, they're going to serve as the Edim that testify what you had done wrong and right. Fine. So now the Mishnah tells us here in the bottom of Tes Zayin Amun Aleph as follows. The Mishnah says, There's a first machlokas. Rashi points out that this is the first machlokas in history that Yosi ben Yoezer Omer shlo lismoch, one should not do smicha on yantif. Look at that first Rashi in the Mishnah, around six lines up from the bottom. Yosi ben Yoezer Omer shlo lismoch b'yantif, referring to on yantif. Your person shouldn't do smicha. It's a shvus to lie on the to rest your body, your weight on the animal. That's a violation of a shvus. So he said not to do this on yantif. V'zuhi machlokas rishona shahayisa b'chach meisal. This was the very first debate that ever existed in Klal Yisrael. Fascinating. This was a particular debate. Doesn't sound like such a big deal, only a shvus, but this was the first debate. Now look at Tosas before he finished the Mishnah. Tosas writes, Yosi ben Yoezer, he quotes to Yushalmi that has a little bit more about the history of the debate to the Machlokasim, but Rishona initially, Lahaya Machlokas Ela Aha Smicha Bavad. That was the first Machlokas in history. This Machlokas about Smicha. V'omdu Shammai V'Hillel, V'yasu Dalad, they made four Machlokasim. And Mishirabu Tamidich Shammai V'Hillel, Shloshim Shu Kol Tzorchan, they didn't properly Mishamish the Rebbeim, Rabu Machlokas B'Yisrael. That created even more debate, V'nechlu L'Beis Kitzes. And that's finally made two different camps, two different schools of thought. That's when Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai were created. So it started from this, slowly grew to four more, and then expanded well beyond that. So the Mishnah then says again, Yosi ben Yoezer Omer, Shlo Lismoch, not to do smicha on Yantif. Yosef ben Yochan Omer Lismoch, Yeshua ben Prachi Omer Shlo Lismoch, Nitai Arbali Omer Lismoch, Yehuda ben Tavai Omer Shlo Lismoch, Shimon ben Shetach Omer Lismoch. So first three, Machlokazim, the first one says Shlo Lismoch, the last two said smicha. Shammai Omer Lismoch, the opposite now, the first one of the pair, their pairs here with Zugos. Shammai Omer Lismoch, Avtalion Omer Shlo Lismoch, Hillel u'Menachem lo nechleku, they didn't debate. Yotzim Menachem left. We'll see why he left in Amid Beis. He left. And Nichna Shammai replaced Menachem. And Shammai Omer Shlo Lismoch and Hillel Omer Lismoch, they had a machlokas. And the Mishnah concludes on the top of Tes Zayin Amid Beis now. HaRishon, the first ones mentioned, the first of each of the pairs, Hayu Nassim were the Nassim. Those were the names of Yosef ben Yoezer, Yeshua ben Prachia, Yehuda ben Tavai. They were the first of each, so the first six people, the numbers 1, 3, and 5 were Nassim. And Shnaim Mizukos Achron, the last two couples, the second of the pair, Shamu Lismok, who said to Dusmicha, who was Shammai and Ha'ilel, they were the Nassim. They were Nassim and the Shim, and the couples, their pair, they were the Av Bezdin. So that's Divrei Rabbi Meir. That was how we understand who is who. Comes along now, the Chum come along in Omrim, Yehuda ben Tavi Av Bezdin, Vishum ben Shadach Nasi. He said Yehuda ben Tavi was the Av Bezdin, and Shum ben Shadach, he was the Nasi. So now the Gemara says, so there's Machlokas, who is the Nasi, who is the Av Bezdin between Yehuda ben Tavai and Shum ben Shadach. So man tan laha. So who authored the following Braisa? The Tanya Rabban, the Braisa tells us that Omar, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tavai, Ere ben Nechama, I will see my regret and my comfort rather. Im lo harakti eid zomim lohotzi miliban shatzadukim. I am had an eid zomim killed just to remove from the thoughts, the hearts of the tzadukim. What would the tzadukim hold? She omim ein eid zomim neharagin ad she yeharag hanidom. The eidim, the tzadukim, as we know, always interpreted the psukim literally, and they had a drasha, another wrong drasha, that they felt the only time one kills an eid zomim is if the Eid Zomim testified about Reuven, and Reuven gets killed, and then they're caught to be an Eid Zomim, then you kill the Eid Zomim. But if the only Kasher Zomim, the only conspired to kill, but Reuven never actually got killed, then the Eid Zomim wouldn't be killed either. We, of course, Paskin, know Kasher Zomim velo Kasher Asa. The Eid Zomim only gets killed if they tried to kill Reuven, but if they actually went through and Reuven was killed, then somehow they wouldn't get killed. That's the judge that we hold of. So says the that he wanted to prove that they were wrong, and he knew they were wrong, but he made sure, we tried avoiding any time to any capital punishment. But Dafka here, he wanted to carry through the capital punishment. It was true, it was MS, and just to make a big deal that the Tzadukim are wrong. So that's what he said they would say, until Reuven is killed. So that's what he said. Now, Amar lo b'Shimon b'Shetach, Erev b'Nechama, im lo shvach t'dam naki. You spilled blood, innocent blood. Why? What did he do wrong? That's the right thing. Meaning, Yehuda ben Tavai made sure the guy was killed, the Eid Zomim was killed, before Reuven was killed. It was only in the Kasher Zomim stage that he had him killed, before the Kasher Asa stage. That's how we paskin, so what did he do wrong? So Shimon b'Shetach explains to him, Shrei Amru, there's another din, brought down the Mishnah Maseches Makos, that Amru Chachamim, ein Eidim Zomim Neragin ad she'ezumu shnehem. Both Edom have to be caught. Let's say you have two Edom against Reuven. They say Reuven is Machal Shabbos. So if only one Edom is caught to be Edom Zomim, you don't kill them until both Edom are caught to be Edom Zomim. Here, Yehuda ben Tavai only caught one of the Edom to be Edom Zomim, and he had that one Edom killed. But that doesn't work that way. It's not until both Edim are caught to be Edim Zomim, then you give the punishment. So he made a terrible mistake here. So again, Ein Edim Zomim Neharagin Ad Shezumu Shneim, until both of them are caught. The Ein Lokin Ad Shezumu Shneim. Also, you don't give the punishment of lashes to the Edim Zomim until both of them are caught. Ve'mishalmin Mamun Ad Shezumu Shneim. And also, when it comes to monetary payment, you don't have them pay until both of them are caught. Both must be caught in order to inflict the punishment of Edim Zomim. So miyad kibbel alav Yehuda ben Tavai. At that point, Yehuda ben Tavai was makabel himself she'eno mor halacha el b'fnei Shimon ben Shadach koyamav. He took upon himself the rest of his life never to pass kin shayla unless Shimon ben Shadach was in his presence, because he had someone killed innocently and he made a terrible, grave mistake. So therefore, that's why he's makabel upon himself. The Gemara then says, "Koyamov Shah Yehuda ben Tavai, the rest of his life, Hayim Shateach Akivro Shal Osa Harug. The one that ate Zomim, who we had killed, the rest of Yehuda ben Tavai's life, he would go every single day, he would sprawl out on top of this kever, and he would daven on behalf of this person, and Vahaya Kolo Nishma, and people would hear Yehuda ben Tavai's voice screaming out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, asking for tshuva, asking for mechila. And Kesvur Ma'am, everybody who heard this terrible screams from the base of Kvaros, they all thought, Lomar Shekolo Shaharugu. This was the Eid Zomim who was killed. He was screaming out from the grave. So he says, no, Amar Lehem Kolihu. This is my voice, said Yehuda ben Tavai. It's me screaming out to Hashem. I'm davening, I'm asking for tshuva. It's my voice. And Teidu, and the proof was, how do we know it was in fact Yehuda ben Tavai and not the mace? Shilamachar, who mace, the next day Yehuda ben Tavai died. Vein kol nishma, no one heard the voice anymore. So it must have been Yehuda ben Tavai, him davening so strong for tshuva. So they respond back, Amar Lehem Acha Bre Dirava L'Ravashi, Vadilma, how do you know? Maybe it was really the call of the Harug that they heard. But the reason why after Yehuda ben Tavai died, you stopped hearing the screaming out of the mace is because Piusa Paisa, when Yehuda ben Tavai's neshama went up to Shemayim, they made peace in Shemayim, so the Harug stopped calling out. Or maybe Obadina Tava. Or maybe the din of the Harug had summoned Yehuda ben Tavai to a din Torah up in Shemayim, and then they figured things out, so that's why you stopped hearing the voice of the Harug. So it's still unclear whose voice the Am was listening to. Was it Yehuda ben Tavai screaming out for davening, or what was the Harug, the one who was buried, the one who was killed? Either way, after this very interesting brisa, they want to know who authored this brisa. Money, huh? If you're going to tell me Bishma, this makes sense. Rabbi Meir, that Shimon ben Shadach was the Abezdin, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Tavai was the Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tavai was greater than him. Hainu, that's exactly what the brisa means when it says Hainu de Kamode More Halacha b'fnei Shimon ben Shadach, meaning only after this episode did Yehuda ben Tavai say, I'm no longer passing Shilas unless Shimon ben Shadach is there. Implying, prior to this, he would passing Shilas in the presence of Shimon, even without Shimon ben Shadach, rather. Which implies that he's greater than Shimon ben Shadach, that he was the Nasi. Yehuda ben Tavai was the Nasi, and Shimon ben Shadach was only the Av Beis Din. So that would make sense according to Rabbi Meir's understanding that, again, Yehuda ben Tavai was the Nasi. But Elaiyamas, if you say like the Rabbanan, the Chachamim above, that means Yehuda ben Tavai Abezdin, and Shimon Shadach was Nasi, would the Abezdin b'fnei Nasi, me, Mara Halacha, would he pass in Shilas if he was only Abezdin and then over the Nasi? Certainly not. So Gemara says, no. Lo, my kibbalav, the Kamar, let's rufe, the Afilat Srufe, namilomas terifin. Meaning, Yehuda ben Tavai never paskin over the Nasi. Shimon Shadach was the Nasi. But what he said was, he'll never sit on a Din Torah unless Shimon Shetach is there as a Bezdin. So certainly being Mara Harlacha, he wouldn't paskin over Shimon Shetach. But even when it comes to Din Torah, where any three Dayanim could sit, he would not sit on a Bezdin unless Shimon Shetach was amongst them, because he was concerned of the terrible thing that had taken place. So Gemara then says, so look up above, before we go back to the Gemara, look at Tos, the interesting question Tos asks. He asks this question all over Shas. Whenever something happens bad to a tzaddik, he asks the following question. He says, Tema. Amai lo makshina and hacha. Why don't we ask the following question in the Gemara? Hacha, that hashta behem tam shal tzadikim ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala yadan. That we have a klal, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu never has anything bad take place to the animals of tzadikim. So then tzadikim atzma lo kol shekein. So certainly, to a tzadik atzma, how could the HaKadosh Baruch Hu have this take place to Yehuda ben Tavai, that he could be the cause of the death, an innocent death? How could that be? If the animals of tzadikim are protected, certainly tzadikim themselves are protected. Just like we asked the Gemara in Gittin, the Gemara in Chulin. The Tosfos answers, V'yeshomer, this klal is only true to lo shayach lakshuye rak gaveg davar achila dganaihu letzadik deochel davar iser. We only have the klal, Kadosh Baruch Hu only protects tzadikim in terms of eating a davar iser, davar tameh. That's where we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu will never let a person put something terrible in the mouth That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects him. But the Gabi of the Yisurim, even as bad as Ritzicha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not stand in the way, and he lets the Tzadikim, and they let the world take its course, and whatever happens, happens. So the Gemara then says, and actually a Maisa I just saw recently from the Tashi Rebbe. Tashi Rebbe once, there was a big meal at his house, and his wife prepared all this food, a very fancy meal, and one of the Talmidim was bringing out the food, the tray of a very fancy food, and slipped, and everything fell on the floor. And Tashi Rebbe immediately said to him, it must be there's something davar tamei inside this food, and that's why this happened. You didn't do anything wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was protecting us from eating anything bad. I don't know what it was, but the chavra, something bad was in that food, and you were here to protect this. It's based on this klal. You're not saying he was a tzaddik, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects tzaddikim from eating anything bad, putting it into their mouth. But this doesn't apply to this case here, and that's why you find tzaddikim sometimes that their mistakes do happen to them. So Gemara then says, back inside around the 15 narrow lines up. Yalta Menachem and Vinichas Shammai. So Misha had this strange language that Menachem left and Shammai took his place. Where did Menachem go? So Lehechan Yalta, where do you go? So Abai Amar Yalta Tarbizra, just like Elisha ben Avuya, went off the derech. So to Menachem was pulled off the derech somewhere and he left the Bezdin. Rav Amar, no, Yalta Lavo the Samal. He went to serve the king, maybe got involved in politics of some sort. He was no longer sitting in the Bezdin. And Tani Nami Hachi, the Raisa says the same thing as Rava, the Yatza Menachem Lavo the Samalach, Yatza Imo Shmonim, Zugos, Tamidim, Levushim, Sirukin, and along with him 80 pairs of students followed along with him as he went to Avod the Samalach to serve the king of some sort. So Gemara then says, Amr of Shemin Bar Abba, Amr of Yochanan, the Olam Alti Shvus Kalabeinech. A person should never take a Shvus lightly, even though it's only an Isser Midirbanan to place your animal, your hand rather, on the animal. That's a Shvus. That's a low level. Don't take it so lightly. Shere Smicha Einu Elam Mishim Shvus. And yet, Nechlokubo Gdolei Ador. And they took it seriously. I mean, the Gdolei Ador felt that this was important machlokas to talk about. It wasn't like, oh, it's a Shvus, don't waste our time with this. We only deal with their ices. No, even a small thing like a Shvus, they spent time, they were involved, they went toe to toe with discussing whether you could do Smicha Yontif. So everything in Halacha, no matter how big, no matter small, is always important and significant. But Nechlokubo Gdolei Ador, Pshita. That's an obvious point. What is the Gemara telling me that point? So Gemara says, Shvus Mitzvah, it's Rechlei. That we have to tell us that a shvus of a mitzvah is also important. Even though shvus in the context of a mitzvah, that shvus is a small matter, and the mitzvah of a smicha is also a mitzvah, meaning a shvus, smicha is a mitzvah on a carbon. The smicha is a shvus on yantif. So even though it's a shvus in the context of a mitzvah, that too is important to know. Meaning a general shvus, I understand that's important. But a shvus, when it's going to go against doing a mitzvah, even that's important as well. So Gemara says that's also a pshita. What's a chiddush there? And the Gemara says, Lafuke, this is all to exclude the opinion, Memand Amar Besmicha Gufa Pli. Meaning there's some who felt the machlokas here in this first mission about smicha was not a machlokas of smicha on yantif. It was a question, is smicha a mitzvah or not in general? Forgetting on a regular weekday, on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, do you do smicha or not? So some say, that was a machlokas. And the Gemara telling us, no, machlokas was not about smicha in general. There certainly is a mitzvah smicha in general. The question was, you do smicha and yontif when there's a shvus that tells you not to do smicha, which one wins out? That's the machlokas here. Just to be clear, kamash malan de b'shvus hu de pligi. That's what we're learning from this discussion. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rami bar Chama shmamina smicha b'chol kocho ba'inam. We could deduce from this that the way one performs smicha is not by simply placing your hands on the animal. Rather, you have to place your hands and lean your body weight all with all your strength on the animal. That's the essence of a smicha. Why? Because these hakadaita chalobainan bakochocho, my covered lismoch, my covered lismoch. If you didn't require placing your body weight on the animal, so what's a problem, yantif? To touch an animal is not a problem. It's to move an animal, to push an animal, to use an animal, to rely on the animal. So if it's not, you don't require your koko, just touch the animal, and then that would be fine. So must be you have to lean on the animal, and that's where the violation of smicha shvus kicks in. So smicha must be b'kokocho. So Gemara then says, Meisive, da b'nei Yisrael, v'samach, it says, in the pasuk these psukim next to each other, b'nei Yisrael somchin, v'ein b'nei Yisrael somchos. That we learn from that only b'nei Yisrael, only the men do smicha, but women don't do smicha. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yishmael, omrim b'nei Yisrael somchos v'shus, they're allowed to. It's voluntary. They don't have to. The men have to, the women can. So this becomes this is the center of a big machlokas in the Rishonim. When women are excluded from a mitzvah, are they allowed to do mitzvahs? Are they allowed to say brachas? In other words, when it comes to mitzvahs aseh, she has man grama, which women are putter from, so Are they allowed to do the mitzvahs? So we certainly possibly they can do mitzvahs. They want to shake the lulav? Go ahead, shake the lulav. They want to hear shofar? Hear the shofar. They want to sit in the sukkah? Sit in the sukkah. Can they say a bracha? That's a big, big question. Can they say brachas? Svarim say they can say brachas, and the Ashkenazim say they can say brachas. So that's what the Tosfos writes in the bottom. He says that even though women are exempt from mitzvah aseh shezman grama, they're still allowed to say brachas. So it really goes back to this Tosfos. This Tosfos is short here, but there's a Tosfos in Menachos and elsewhere, which is much longer, goes into great detail, whether or not when a person is exempt from a mitzvah, is it mutter for them to say the brachas or not. So this is really, again, the nucleus of that machlokas. So Gemara then says, Amr Rabbi Yossi Sachli Abam, Elazar, my father told me, Pamachas one time, Hayalanu Egel Shel Zifche Shlamim, we had a calf of a shlamim in the house. Vivyanu Lezes Nashim, we brought it to Lezes Nashim, to the base of Mikdash, to that area. Visam Cholav Nashim, and the woman did smicha. Not because women are supposed to do smicha, to make them feel good, to make them feel connected. And this is a very, very slippery slope, a dangerous thing, that because women want to do a lot of things. At what point do you say that's, you know, in the realm of halacha or outside the world of halacha? So it's a very, very slippery slope. But this is a very, very important line, which many have used, many liberals have used to allow for certain leniencies when women rights in the world of Torah. But this is the Gemara. So here we allow that the eagle to go in the Esen Nashim so women could do smicha. Now, so if it's true that you're required to do smicha with all your strength, now forgetting yantif, leave aside yantif. There's another problem of doing smicha. By you leaning your entire body weight, that's avoda, that's using an animal. There's an iser deraisa to utilize an animal. That's an avoda on an animal. So just to make the woman feel good, we'll let them do an iser and lean on the animal. That becomes very problematic. It must be elav shmamina lo bina makokoho. You don't have to put your entire body weight, and women just touch it, and that's smicha. So you touch it. So although above we said you do require kokoho, this Gemara certainly indicates you don't require kokoho. So that's the question. And so the Gemara says, no, liolam emelcha bina makokoho. Really? When you do smicha, you have to use kokoho. When it came to women, damrulu akfi yadaihu, we told them, just touch it. They didn't really have to do smicha. Don't lean on it. We said touch them. They don't know the halacha. So sometimes we throw them a bone. Just they think they're doing the right thing. They don't know any better. So we say, touch it. You've done smicha. Like, oh, Rabbi, we did smicha. There's a famous story like Rav Soloveitchik that once a woman came to him and said to him that she really wants to wear a tzitzis. She's so excited about tzitzis. Could she wear a tzitzis? Of course, women don't wear tzitzis. So he said, I'll tell you what. Take a four-cornered garment without any strings, without any tzitzis. Just wear four-corner and wear it for a week and tell me how you feel. So the next day, next week she comes back. So he says, Nusa, how was it? So she said, oh, it was great. It was felt so good. She said, you am ha'aretz. You didn't do any mitzvah. Just the four corners. There are no tzitzis there. You didn't do anything. And he knew she was a farce. And he threw her out and didn't let her wear it. But sometimes the women don't know any better. They think they're accomplishing a lot. So sometimes you could throw them a bone and wear a four-corner garment and you'll be fine. You could have let her live the rest of her life that way and she would have thought that she would have accomplished great things. So here's Will, not to trick the ladies, but sometimes if they're so adamant about doing certain things and they don't know any better, better to avoid the fighting and just throw them a bone. So they threw them a bone. Here, put your hands on the animal and you've been yotzei the smicha. They didn't know any better. So, but really you do require kokoho, but they, in this case of the women, they just touch the top of the animal. The Gemara then says, "Ihachi, that's the case." So then, the Gemara seems to be inaccurate. Lo mipnei smicha b'nashim. The reason why the Gemara had said that the reason why they put the animal's egg on the Ezer Nashim is because there is smicha b'nashim. That's not why. The Gemara really should have said, typically they know l'smicha klal because they didn't do smicha. They just pretty much had a calf walk through Ezer Nashim, but no smicha was being done. The Gemara is inaccurate. It should have said because they didn't do any smicha. That's why they let the calf go in the Ezer Nashim. And the Gemara answers no. Really, Amar Rab Ami Chad of Od Kamar. There are two reasons why they let the calf walk into the Ezer Nashim. Chad, the one is the less l'smicha klal because they weren't really doing smicha. They were just touching the top of the animal. And number two is k'dei la'asas nachas ruach l'nashim, just to make them feel good. So that combination, making them feel good and making sure they're not violating any surim, so that's what they tried accomplishing in this case. But etzem, really, the smicha does require kochos. Let's quickly recap what we did. Oh, it's a little bit late now, so I'm not going to recap. Okay, fine. Everyone have a wonderful day and a beautiful Shabbos.